Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, because we also have our good buddy John Peters with us. Hey, John, pull up a stool.
Hey, howdy, hey, how we doing, fellas?
I'm doing good. You always notice how much more vibrant he is at night, Dan?
Yeah, he's a night owl.
Yeah, I don't think he's a morning kind of critter.
Yeah.
I got all week of getting up at 5 o'clock on Sundays. It takes me a little bit to get going, you know. So,
I wanted to tell you something, too. I was watching Good Morning America today. We were at one of the customers' house, and all of a sudden, they were showing how all the tree frogs came out because of the hurricane. I was cracking up. It showed this frog on a tree, like, screaming in this lady's backyard. I was thinking of you, Johnny.
Yep, that's me.
See, and you got that, picked up that info from John, so you were the frog expert. If before we did last week's show, you wouldn't have known what they were talking about.
Exactly. I had no idea, but they said they like to mate or something. They come out in the hurricane. The pressure of the hurricane makes them come out even more.
Okay.
That's what the guy was saying. That's what the girl, Ginger Z or whatever she is, the weather girl on there. She said the storm, the hurricanes actually makes them come out even more. Now, did you notice during the storms they were a little more ornery?
As soon as it gets wet outside, as soon as any night we have the afternoon thunderstorms or something, we see more of them. So, yeah. I didn't notice any more during hurricane than any other rainy day. So,
yeah, that's what she was saying. She said the storms attract them. So maybe it's just because they like you, John. They just come around and rib it around your house.
Well, they certainly like the swampy area. That's for sure. So.
What else is new with you guys? All good? This ready to record tonight? You got your beers in front of you?
Yeah, myself, I'm on my usual. I'm on an orange Powerade Zero.
Oh, okay. What are you on, John?
Let's see. What did I have? Poured it in a glass. I forgot what it was. It's an Goose Island IPA.
Oh, jeez. IPA. It has to be all fancy. I'm on a Canadian Molson. Canda. Canada.
Well, there you go.
I have to be a wise butt. You guys know it. So you guys ready to do some Animal Kingdom Untouchables?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll play, as my wife would do, we'll play the Mission Impossible song for this.
Yeah.
Dan, 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 dan. That's what she was doing when I talked about doing this show. Love you, baby. So I guess we'll start off. We'll do the way the Burn Bombs book has them listed, and we'll start off in Africa. Sound
okay,
good to you guys?
Yep. Let's do it.
This one should be a no-brainer. And that's right down your guys' alley. Zingo! the Kilimanjaro Safari, guys.
For me, that is untouchable. I think, obviously, the Tree of Life is a park icon, but I think as far as attractions go in that park, even though there's some that are more visually stunning, I think Kilimanjaro Safaris exemplifies what the park is all about and brings out the best in what the Animal Kingdom is. So definitely for me, I think it's untouchable. Now, that's not to say they can't change it, expand it, add to it, but I think it'll always be there in some shape, way, or form as an untouchable at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
John, what say you?
I couldn't agree more. It's basically what Walt's vision was for the Jungle Cruise come to life in a vehicle format, and it says Animal Kingdom. I mean, when you are on Kilimanjaro Safaris, you're actually not only Animal Kingdom, but Disney. I mean, when you're on that vehicle and you come across that savanna, there are points where you look across and you could really feel like you're on an African safari. So, yeah, that is what Disney is about, taking you and transporting you to a different place. So, yeah, it's untouchable. No doubt.
This is one of the rides, and it made me think of another show that we're going to do in the future. And I'm just telling you guys now. We're going to do a list of the top five rides or so that the cast members make the most of a difference.
Okay.
And don't that sound like a good idea to you guys?
Yes, absolutely.
And living with the land. Oh, wait.
There you go. They're going.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? If you have a really good driver here, it can make all the difference in the world too. The more interaction that they give you.
You can really tell when some of them are either maybe studying for a biology degree or just generally really have a love for the animal type thing, and they can know the background. They can even, I've had some of them actually name, you know, give you the names of some, like the elephant or something like that they come across. So you can tell the difference when there's somebody that's just really, really into it. So.
Into the job or just doing the job.
And exactly.
When you get a driver that is really into it and like, because we've had rookies on there. The one time we had and they basically told us it was his first day there, and they had a supervisor riding with him. And it was different. Like, we didn't get the information we should have, but it was. We felt bad for him, so we're cheering him on, you know, trying to make – he was doing good for his first day, but I knew the pressure he was under. But we were more paying attention to him than the actual animals. But you know what I mean? He was distracting us, but – but if you get a really good one, like John said, to start telling you the zebra's actually, you know, the black knot, you know what I'm saying? The stripes are, you know, the different colors, about the giraffes, it can really make a difference when you're on the ride.
Yeah, I had a buddy, Chris, that I used to trade pins with, who ended up being a cast member there, and he actually ended up being a driver, and we had him a couple of times when we went down on various trips, and he got so good at it, or he did it for so long. I think he lasted there like 9 months, and then he went on to some other area, not in the park, but in the Disney, within the Walt Disney World Resort. I don't know where he is now, but anyways, yeah, I mean, there are some that just quote unquote stick to the script, which is pretty interesting in itself if you just hear it, you know, for the first time. But he had done it so much that he could, within the little breaks when you get from section to section on the safari, he would throw in his own information and add things. Yeah, and it made it, like you're saying, Doug, much more enjoyable. And, you know, it was more of a, you know, he would play around with different people in the vehicle and, you know, looking at, you know, how they look back in the mirror there and they can talk to different guests. And you're right, it made all the difference. You know, the fact we knew him, you know, helped a little bit too. But, you know, just like with the Jungle Cruise and some of the other attractions on property, it can make or break your enjoyment on an attraction for sure.
Absolutely. And to me, just the answer to the question is it untouchable? I hope to goodness it is. It better be, because this is what this whole park's about.
Exactly.
You know, it's one of my – it's always in my top 10 favorite rides, and it always will be.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think of the amount of land it takes up, I mean, I thought I heard something at one point. Does it sound right? It's as large as the Magic Kingdom. Does that sound like it could be possible?
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, think about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you really think about the ride, you take off, you go to the right, you're headed to Tomorrowland, up around. I mean, you're literally driving around. You can think about it as the Magic Kingdom size.
Right, and that's a huge park, so, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Doug, you said before, we all know that you want to be a friendship boat captain when you retire or at some point. And this is my dream job. This is the one when I retire or either am able to just get a good part-time job. I'd love to be the driver on one of these.
Boy, yeah, I don't
here.
Know. The springs on those things, John. You think your back could take that for an 8-hour shift or 5 times a week? I mean, them are pretty herky-jerky, don't you think?
Well, I drive a truck now, so, but not on quite such a rough road. Yeah, you are right about that. So.
Yeah, well, your hemorrhoids ought to be very good by the time that job's done. I'll tell you that.
I'd certainly like to give it a try, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what, if you get the job and I don't get the boat job and you can get me in, I'm in.
Yeah.
Next up, guys, the Pangani Forest Exploration Trail.
Huh. Now, see, for me, this is tough because, you know, if you're trying to judge it by, you know, how thrilling it is or, you know, some of the other criteria that we're using, it probably wouldn't make it. But if you look at the way I'm going to look at it is given the fact that it's the animal kingdom and the whole point is animals and nature and its interaction, I think it does what it's supposed to do very well, particularly with the Gorilla Falls area and how magnificent those silverback gorillas are. So me personally, I'm going to say it's untouchable because of where it is and what it portrays within the animal kingdom. I could certainly see others thinking it's very touchable, but again, what are we trying to do here? If we're trying to compare it to, you know, Avatar Land and you want an e-attraction, well, I guess it's very touchable. But if your love of nature and animals, in particular gorillas, if you have that love, it would be untouchable. So for Dennis, it's untouchable.
Yeah, Johnny.
Seen as it is Animal Kingdom, and that's what this park is about, just like Dennis said, I do believe it's untouchable, unless they came up with another ride system of some sort, like they do have for, you know, Kilimanjaro Safaris, where there is a way to ride through it, but I don't think they'll mess with that. I mean, there's a couple of trails at Animal Kingdom that are intended to be trails, so yeah, I think it's untouchable, so.
No, and I'm 100% saying it's untouchable. I mean, I'm going to go on the record right now saying I bet you 75% of the stuff in this park to me is going to be untouchable.
Right.
Because yeah, it's just perfect the way it is. I mean, and please, I do not want to see them get rid of the – I mean, the silverback gorillas are the highlight of my trip half the time.
Yep.
You know, I just love watching them. I just sitting there just looking at the mass strength in them. You can just see the power in them. It's just amazing to watch them roam around.
Doug, I was thinking while you guys were talking, maybe Disney's answer to King Kong over at Universal is they can combine a gondola ride and kind of swoop you down into the gorillas when they come up and try to grab you, then they just sing out of the way. What do you think about that?
I don't want nothing to do with it, because if that ride mechanism breaks, I'm in real trouble.
Yeah, we got off of Kilimanjaro Safaris one day, and that male silverback was out right across the falls there, and he was just over there like picking, I forgot what it was. It was something that had ended up in the enclosure, like a coconut or something like that, and he was just picking it apart like it was, you know, like a Christmas wrapping. I mean, just being the strength of that animal is incredible. So
absolutely, just I mean, and then the other thing that's really cool too is seeing the hippopotamus swim above you in that little tank. That whole setup is it's one of my favorite things to do on all the Disney properties. So it's 100% untouchable to me.
Well, I'm glad we're in agreement. I didn't think I'd have total support on that, but I'm happy to hear that we agree.
Now, if this is not, I'm going to have to really hurt somebody here. The Wildlife Express to Rifkifi Planet Watch.
Okay,
what say you?
Including the train as part of the attraction, correct?
The train, the veterinarian facility, the whole nine yards.
Okay, so we can't pick it apart. It's got to be as a whole.
Yeah, well, you can. They're actually listed as Wildlife Express and then the Rifkifi Planet Watch, but I consider it all one.
Right.
Myself.
Okay. Oh, well, if we're doing it all as one, I say it's touchable, only because I think they could do some more out once you get out to the veterinarian area out there. I think the train ride is I enjoy the train probably more than I enjoy being out there myself. I think it's a nice look at the backstage area, although I think they could do some more to make that you know, not more exciting, that's not the right word, but they could show you more, I guess, on exhibit out there on your way out to, you know, look at the stuff they have out there. And I agree with you, Doug. It is very interesting once you get out there, and it's all on what you put into it, as I discovered when I enjoyed, I guess, the Animal Kingdom after you had me go out there. But I don't know. I just think it could be changed to make it maybe a little more interactive. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's on movie screens there. And again, if you take the time to do it, you can learn a ton. But then again, you can jump off the train, look around and say, nah, let's get out of here, and you won't enjoy yourself. So it's all in what you invest. But I guess to answer your question, looking at it as a whole, I say it's it could be touchable. Or it is touchable.
Yeah, well, this is where the whole point of slow down, look around, and enjoy the view came from our show with me saying that. And the whole idea of the animal kingdom is what you said, discover. Mm-hmm. If you go out there and just go through with a bad state of mind, you're not going to find half the stuff there is to do. But you do have the whole Penton Zoo area, the whole nine yards there when you first get off. But then inside, if you get lucky, like, and I'm not, I wouldn't say it's lucky because a lot of times the animals are being... they're being operated on, which is good and bad for them. They don't want to be there having that happen to them. But most of the times we've gone out there, there's been something going on with the veterinarians. So it's always been interesting to me. And then, like I said, the last time with the lady with the ball, she was giving me that big ball that the taggers tore apart, which that was interesting me talking to her about. I couldn't believe it. She said this only lasted for 2 days out in the savannah with them, and they tore it apart.
Wow.
So, and the claws, it just show. I mean, I could barely pick the thing up, you know, and they tore it apart.
It's like a medicine ball to you, right?
Exactly. So, to me, just with all the knowledge and learning, and if you go, like you said, in the booths and all that stuff, there's a real lot to learn. But if they added a couple more interactive things, I wouldn't be upset. But to me, the way it is I'm totally happy with it. I hope it's not touched. Johnny?
I think I'm leaning again with Dennis. I think the train is kind of cool, and it's definitely something that I enjoy a lot, but I wouldn't be surprised to see, if nothing else, just some more different types of exhibits out there. I think maybe I don't know, do they even still have the petting zoo out there, or
yeah,
is that
do.
Gone?
No,
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that leave at some point, just because parents are so worried about their children nowadays, and God knows what a goat might give them or something, or child or something.
Right.
So,
I mean,
but,
to me,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead, John. I was just going to say the petting zoo, to just make a point on that before you go on with your points. I just think, like we said with the carousel, the fact that there's a petting zoo, at least around where I am, the local farms around here have petting zoos. You know, it's cool, but I think for a Disney park, it needs, you know, I don't think it belongs in a Disney park, only because it's kind of happy. You can get that almost anywhere in Main Street USA back home, I guess.
Take my affection section.
Sorry, John. I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
That's what it's called, the affection section. Don't take my affection section, guys. I might.
Yeah, that's like the one place I wouldn't be surprised to see him move. I would love to see him have more of the actual veterinary type stuff, and have more about treating animals and what kind of different operations they have to do on them and stuff like that, because that's probably the most interesting thing out there. So,
see, what I would like to see them do too, the one thing I would like to see them add, and I think it would help everybody, I would like to see them add an area maybe out there to the vets, tell you how to treat your pets, the ones that we have. Like, tell people, to explain to them how bad table food is for a dog, and how canned food and different foods for a cat aren't good for them all the time either, because it rots out their teeth. You know, they need the hard food to clean their teeth and stuff like that. I think they should hold things, and like guinea pigs and anything.
Domestic
that,
animals.
Yeah, anything that people, yeah, that you have as pets, maybe to help the kids learn how to take care of them better, and adults. What do you guys think of that?
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, that sounds good, and in a way they kind of do have a certain aspect of that where you bring it home, because they do have a couple of exhibits where they, or at least they have pamphlets and stuff where they pass out that show how you can turn your backyard into a butterfly habitat and a bird habitat and stuff like that. So that's kind of bringing it back home, so that would just be an extension of that program, really.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, with how bad it is with animals, like you see, like, because it breaks my heart every time I see the ASCPA with the dogs and the cats, where they're telling you to donate the 18. Like I think Disney could maybe do a little bit more with that to help with all the problems with the dogs and the cats in this country. And I think the Animal Kingdom would be the perfect place to do that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, promote spay and neutering and stuff like that, and responsible pet care, you know?
Absolutely. How do you, like little things, like to help the kid, like up in our way, Dan, you know how it is.
Oh,
I
yeah.
try to clean my dog's feet when you're bringing in from walking out, like if it's snowy out with the salt and everything.
Yep.
It's not good for him to be licking that and eating that. And you know what I mean? When me and Presley come back from a walk when it's snowy out, I bring him in. He fights me. He beats me up. But I wash his feet. And it
well,
might sound
you...
crazy, but, you know, it's not good for them to be roaming through all that.
Well, plus, Doug, if they walk in salt too much, it'll actually dry out and their pads will start to crack and they can get infection.
Exactly.
All right. Again, what is this whole snow salt
yeah.
conversation? I'm
yeah.
I'm lost.
Oh, well, we're trying to help you out, John, in case you ever explore up to the Northeast, which I don't
I've
know
been
why
there.
You would ever need to. Ever again.
I did my time. I'm good.
I did my time.
Well, John, Doug's going to have to get, you know, a lesson or two in snake care and spider.
Exactly.
Stuff like that. So, yeah, maybe they ought to add some on snake the do's and don'ts.
I will pass out during that demonstration. I'm serious. Like I said, I'll fight a grizzly bear, lead the gardener snakes away. I'm scared of them. I'm scared. I admit it. I'm a big sissy. Guys, Festival of the Lion King.
To me, that's I really, really enjoy that show. I say it's the fact that they moved its location and built its own new pavilion or stage area or whatever you want to call it. I say it's untouchable. I say they plan on that being there for many years to come. So Dennis says untouchable.
Johnny?
I say it's untouchable, and I'm truly kind of amazed that it is, because I think, if I'm correct, it was basically did to as a, like a last-minute stopgap when they opened Animal Kingdom to have something to fill in that theater, and the show went over so well and became so popular that, like Dennis said, they ended up making its own theater now and stuff like that. So it's really... it's grown on people, and I love it. I think we see it every time we go out there, and you can't help but walk out of there with a smile on your face. So it's a good show.
Oh, absolutely. I feel the same way. I mean, just the music. Hey, I did the wrong one.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I was making fun. I was just making fun. But, yeah, that's my favorite show ever at Epcot.
Real quick on the Lion King, you know how you were talking about the cast members can make or break your experience on some rides, and sometimes the people they pick out of the audience to fill in, you know, the warthog and the
yeah.
giraffe and the lion. My goodness, we picked the lady that did ours last time, picked a guy that was just, you know, you ever see that guy that is just the worst guy that doesn't want to be at Disney?
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets picked to do something. It was horrible. So I felt so bad for the woman that picked him. Oh, you made a boo-boo mistake there.
Yeah, he was the only guy I almost got into it with. I know that same guy. I almost got into it with him at Pinocchio's Harbor House getting dinner the one night. He slammed... you could see he was this big guy, big monster guy. I seen him like four or five times during the day, all mad, and you could just tell Disney's not for me. I'm too cool. I'm a tough guy. I'm a biker dude. You know, that whole thing. He was just mad that he was there. And he finally almost knocked my mother-in-law down getting in the door there, and we had her in the wheelchair that time, and I lost my mind on him. and it was ugly. We were like giving each other the stare down the entire dinner. And all my wife kept telling me, you know, if you get in a fight here, they're not going to let you in ever again. And that's the only thing that kept me sane, man.
Yeah.
Now, this guy was a business type, and he looked like, you know, maybe he'd been at a convention all day, and then his kids and his wife dragged him over here at the last minute to go see a show or something. And he'd much rather have been on that golf course than to sit over here and watch The Lion King.
But. Yeah, three cell phones on his pocket, two cool.
Yeah,
uh-huh. You know,
yeah.
I know the type.
And
if you're that type, listen to us. I love you.
No, but that is aggravating, and I know just the type you mean. It's like they're looking at their phone, and they're just counting the minutes to get out of here, and their body language tells you that they're not enjoying themselves.
Exactly. They're not in the moment. They're just there to be there, and they should be there, because when they get older, they'll wish they would have paid attention to the time with their kids there.
Yep. You're right.
We're going to do Discovery Island in a fun way. I'm going to combine the three of them. Because they're all pretty much the same, and I think we'll all agree, and we'll see how we agree, and I'll do it like this. But you have the Tree of Life, the Discovery Island trails, which are around the Tree of Life, and it's tough to be a bug. So, I mean, I don't see that. Yeah, and you could start then with the Tree of Life and that whole area.
Yeah, I mean, Tree of Life is the park icon as opposed to Kilimanjaro Safaris, which was our, you know, we said that it sort of is, but it is not. I mean, I think with all the carvings and the Tree of Life and the magnificent structure that it is, I say it's definitely untouchable. It's going to be there. You know, whether they have to replace the leaves or whether they do from time to time, I don't know. But, you know, there will be a Tree of Life there or that Tree of Life there in some shape, way, or form for as long as the park exists, I believe. So it is untouchable. The second area, the bug of
it's tough to be a bug.
Are we going to talk about the attraction itself, or is that part of the Tree of Life?
The attraction itself. I mean, you could say if you think they'll change something out of there, if they'll change it or not. I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, I think at some point the show may change, but I think it's such it's done so well and it fits that it's a subterranean theater and it's under the tree and under the ground. I mean, it's perfect. So I don't see that changing. Although, could the show change, or if they do another Bugs Life movie at some point, you know, might they change out the show? Yeah, but I think it'll be there. So I feel that's untouchable. And the areas in and around the trails when you come in the park, the other area, again, I think they will remain. I think the you know, animals and birds and fish and all that are in there may change from time to time, but I think that concept will stay the same, because really it's your access into the park, and until you get to the bridge and you see the Tree of Life, you know, in front of you, the park, you know, proper doesn't really start. So you need to get all them guests from the front gate up to that area of the bridge to enter the Animal Kingdom. So what better way to do that than just have a boring queue line or just a straight, you know, walkway, than to have meandering paths that have animals in them. So I see them staying. I think as tranquil as they are, you know, if you take some time and look around, you can certainly, you know, spend 30 minutes, 40 minutes or so, if you take the time and enjoy those, you know, smaller creatures that are in the Animal Kingdom. So I say all three are untouchable in my mind.
What do you say, Johnny?
The Tree of Life and the pass, I absolutely agree. The pass, surprise, surprise, I love to get a safari amber and wander around the pass and just find as many animals as I can. Gee, go imagine that, right? But that's one of my favorite pastimes. But the tough to be a bug, and while it is probably at the point the best movie to put in there because it fits so well, I wouldn't be surprised if they do come out with maybe a movie with a general scope of all the animals to have something replace it. I was, you know, kind of thinking of like something like Zootopia, but I don't think it did as much as they wanted it to do to put it in there. But I wouldn't be surprised to see something at some point kind of move that out and make way for something else.
I hear you. I mean, for me, and this is me because I'm such an Animal Kingdom homer, I hope that never goes, because I have had so many great times on that show. I mean, I just love that show. I think it's the perfect ending to exploring the trails, checking the tree out, because like I've said a million times on this show, there's never been a time that I've gotten on that ride where I haven't let people pass me, because I'm in no hurry, because I'm so blown away by how gorgeous the tree is. And then I think this show is a perfect ending to show you what all the bugs do in this. On the planet that we need them all for. So I think it's very educational. And it scared the you-know-what out of my stepfather. So it was icing on the cake with those spiders.
Yeah, and I know I told this story when we covered the Animal Kingdom on one of our shows way back. And originally, Michael Eisner had, that was supposed to have been a restaurant under there, and they ended up changing it at the, maybe not the last minute, but as the park came to be. And they turned it into an attraction, but it was going to be a restaurant, and that might have been pretty cool too.
I was going to say, can you imagine something like a Rainforest Cafe under there, and it would fit just about perfect, you know?
Yep, so. Exactly.
Well, we'll keep it the way it is, guys. That's what I'm saying. Untouchable, kids.
All right.
Asia, the Flights of Wonder at the. It says the Flights of Wonder at the Caravan Stage.
Great show, love it. but to me, it's touchable. Only because, and I used this excuse before, and maybe it's a chicken way out or whatever, but I mean, we've covered a lot of attractions already, and most of them have been untouchable. So we gotta, or not we, I have to cut the line somewhere and say that, you know, it's a good show, even a great show, but I certainly think it's touchable.
Johnny?
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with Doug on this one and agree with Dennis. I think it's touchable, too. And unfortunately, I know Doug's going to yell at me. And this is one of the ones
so
that
mean.
Yep. This is another one that I think I did in 98 when we first went out there, and I don't think we've done since.
Well, go so back. I think you'll really enjoy it.
We need to go back. That's definitely on our list every time we go, but it's just one of them ones that I never get around to, so...
Everybody but, I know that has done it recently has nothing but – I think the older you get to, the more you appreciate it, in my opinion, with that. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, me personally, you know, where I'm going on less and less of the, you know, the high, you know, the E-ride, thrill rides,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, attractions like that are perfect for me and my wife, so I agree with that. If you're a thrill seeker and all you want to do is be white knuckled and, you know, screaming your head off, of course, it's not going to be something you're going to enjoy. But if you like to, you know, learn something and see some magnificent creatures and you know, see them perform in the way they do, then it's certainly a great show. But again, looking at it, you know, comparing it to the great attractions that also reside in that park, I can't put it in that category, I guess. As good as, you know, all the accolades I just gave it, I still think it's, a few notches down from, like, Kilimanjaro Safaris, let's just say, where I said that's untouchable. I can't put Flights of Wonder in that same category, even though it's good, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, with me, I agree with you guys. I don't think it is untouchable, but I want it to be. I could see something else going there. I don't see it being Kilimanjaro Safari or whatever, but even though it's been there since park opening pretty much. It's been there for a long time. And I hope it's not, because seeing that eagle at the end of that show is one of the greatest things I ever see. I just love that every time. I mean, that is one of the coolest things. I mean, to be – where else do you get to be that close to an American eagle?
Like, never.
Exactly. And to make you feel that proud. So that's why I hope it never goes. It's a great thing. I think it's great for the kids to interact with the birds. But I can't say it's untouchable, but I hope it is. How's that sound?
Yeah, that's a chicken way out.
It is.
Get off the fence.
I said I don't think it is. I don't
think
it's untouchable,
it is
but
wonder,
I hope
so he can
it's
be
not.
A chicken on this one. So.
Exactly. I can lay a couple eggs, but I'm
exactly.
Bummed. But no, like I said, I don't think it is, but I hope it don't go nowhere for my sake. I want to see my eagle till I'm long gone. Maharaja Jungle Trek, guys.
Another one. I put this as second to
the Pangani.
Yeah, just in my mind, but the tigers are awesome, and this is the one the tigers are on, correct?
Yes, and
yeah,
that's what makes me think it's untouchable.
Yeah, I mean, boy, it's a tough one for me. If I called one untouchable, I guess I have to call the other one untouchable. But I think with the tigers, though, and see if you guys agree with me, I think depending on the time of day and how active the tigers are would influence if you had only been on the trail once or twice, and let's just say the tigers were pretty much sleeping both times, you probably wouldn't have as high an opinion of it than if you've seen it when they have been very active. Whereas the gorillas, for the most part, you know, a couple of them are always fairly active, so you get a good show. So that's, to me, the distinction between the two and why I could be persuaded to call one touchable and one untouchable. But for the sake of answering the question, I'm going to assume the tigers are fairly active and they're both, this one is untouchable for me.
Johnny?
The Maharaja Jungle Trail, the Pangani Trail and Kilimanjaro Safaris are what Animal Kingdom essentially is. I mean, it basically has to be untouchable for it to stay as Animal Kingdom. So, yeah, it's untouchable.
See, I agree with both of you. I think it's untouchable. And I think I'll go a step further. I think it sets the whole tone for the whole land of Asia. Without having the animals there and that whole track, I think it would ruin the whole atmosphere of what the whole Asia section of the park is about. You know, because Kilimanjaro, over at the other side, you have two. You have Kilimanjaro Safari and the Pangani.
Yep.
Here, you need the Maharaja Jungle Track to set the mood for the whole land. So that's why I think it's untouchable. Because the land wouldn't feel right without knowing those taggers are down that path, in my opinion.
But you know what, Doug, and I think you've even made this point on previous shows. I mean, sometimes people run right out of the Kilimanjaro Safaris, and their next stop is Everest, or it's over to the Kali River Rapids, and they blow right by. You know, they have cast members out there kind of directing people down the trails because, you know, a lot of people just blow. They can't be bothered or don't take the time to enjoy them.
Oh, absolutely. That's, again, why our next T-shirts have to say, slow down, look around, and enjoy the view, like we've been saying, because it's the truth. I mean, Animal Kingdom is there are so many things that you could pass by if you don't pay attention. That, like, I had so many people that didn't even know that the Flights of Wonder was even there.
Right.
Or half of these tracks, or Discovery Island, or when you walk in, you know, the whole Oasis area.
Yep.
They're past the Oasis, they don't even see. Did you see the anteater? Or you understand? You know what I'm saying?
What anteater?
Exactly. what are you talking about? Like, they don't see any of that, or the bird, like the birds on the, and the ducks in the little streams there. I mean, slow down, enjoy it. I mean, you don't have to get to Everest. It's really not important.
Don't you think Disney was partially to blame for that? At not anymore, but for a while they promoted Animal Kingdom as not a zoo, and that was their catchphrase for it. And while it is certainly more than a zoo, it definitely is a zoo. I mean, that's why we go there, is to see the animals, and it's a zoological park. I mean, there's more to do than a regular zoo, that's for sure.
Well,
but
they're
it's
trying
still
to tell
zoo.
You it's a zoo, but they're really not caged, is what they're trying to put it at.
Yeah,
that's the whole deal. They more
it
roam just, free. It, they're not as restricted as what they are to normal.
Yeah, it didn't come across right to me. But,
that's the way they were going for. It's not a zoo as far as our animals aren't, you know, kept in these 10x10 cages. Like, if you go to the Philadelphia Zoo, and when I used to go as a kid and watch the lions in the glass, the whatever it is,
oh,
I don't know.
Oh, pitiful old cages. Yeah, it's pitiful.
I don't know the exact size, guys, so don't criticize me, but the 8-inch thick glass or whatever the heck it is, and you see the poor thing laying on the cement, it's like, really? Like, I mean, how depressing. I used to want to cry when I left that zoo.
Yeah, that is very sad when you know they're, you know, you can say, oh, but they're getting the best care and the best diet, but how much of a life is that for an animal to be caged like that for, you know, probably 8 or 10 hours a day, and, you know, who knows what their living conditions are like, you know, that's just horrible.
Exactly.
You know where that comes from, though, is probably because you guys are from the Northeast, and so this is the type of zoos that you guys grew up with, you know, with ones where they had to keep the animals warm through the wintertime and stuff like that. But most of our zoos down here, I'm thinking of Busch Gardens, Lowry Park Zoo in Tampa, they do a really good job of simulating the natural habitat for animals, but that's because they don't have to worry about the temperatures. And so they're able to do that. So
exactly. And I think if you have to worry about the temperature, you shouldn't have a zoo. I mean, just right.
Yeah,
simple.
Think about
it's
San Diego Zoo, you know, it's another one that's in a temperate climate, and they're supposed to have the, you know, the most open areas and stuff like that too. So
yeah, you just feel horrible for it, and it's like, I mean, it's just nice to see the lions up on those rocks just living like large, you know. They ain't worried about their next meal or fighting the whatchamacallit, what do they fight all the time? Whoopi Goldberg played it, the hyenas. Yeah, they fight the hyenas. They don't worry about any of that junk. Feed me a steak later, please.
But it is true. And, it, you know, being in the Northeast or, you know, the Midwest or whatever, yeah, I guess I wish they wouldn't have zoos, I guess is what I'm saying, but I suppose that maybe that's not fair to people that grow up in that area, but it certainly doesn't seem fair for the animals.
Yeah, it breaks my heart sometimes. Next up, another thing that breaks my heart, Expedition Everest.
Yeah, to me, untouchable. I think that when I first went on it, it blew me away. I mean, the whole... You know, when you get to the top there, especially if you're in the first car and you know, the track kind of breaks off and you can see over the side and, you know, then you go backwards and then you stop again and you see the shadow of the Yeti. And, you know, as you know, I was lucky enough to have seen the Yeti when it did work briefly. It's a tremendous attraction. I do not like roller coasters. I just don't like them, but that was one roller coaster that I wanted to go back on, and in fact have gone on many times since. And I just think it's a wonderful attraction, and certainly untouchable in the animal kingdom.
I 100% agree. What do you think, John?
It's my favorite roller coaster in all of Walt Disney World, and I love the attraction, love the queue. Love the theming. The mountain's a great backdrop. The only thing I would say touchable is to yank that Yeti out and put another one in there. But other than that, he's untouchable. So
yeah, see, I agree with you guys. It is untouchable, but I don't like the ride. I mean, I 100% agree. The what blows me away is the beauty of the mountain. Like I've talked about, I have a screensaver with the way my wife took the picture like I'm climbing it. The angle she got looks really cool. I love the beauty of it. The Asia wouldn't be right without this ride. I think it's gorgeous, but I just think they dropped the ball with how they built it, and I've said it 100 times. I like the queue better than the ride. Yeah, I have more fun roaming through Yak and Yeti than I do riding Expedition Everest. I really do, because it's just a glorified roller coaster to me. I think they could have did so much more with that, and that's just my opinion. Like. Don't you, and I know other people have heard me complain about this, but in case we actually have a new listener, now what? Don't you guys think it would be 1,000 times better if it was more like Splash Mountain than if they added an element like that? Like as you're climbing up the hill, there's animatronics to show what's going on, what happened, tell the story. And then as you slowly ride up, you see everything, you roam through, like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train has that little area. Don't you think it would be cool? And then all of a sudden you do the drop and fall down. Like, wouldn't it be cool if it did something like Splash where you roam around and have the story told and then you get dropped and make the roller coaster go?
Yeah, I mean, you know, hindsight being 2020, I'm sure every attraction you could say that about. I mean, it is a little barren when you first start off. I got to give you that, Doug. When you first climb the hill, there's very little going on there. But I think that, you know, the story they're telling is you know, a Yeti there or something that has destroyed the tracks. And the story kind of goes from there. The problem they would have that's a little bit different than, you know, Mine Train or some of them other attractions is it's so fast going that once you commit to the drop or whatever you want to call it, you know, the vehicles are moving so fast you couldn't do audio animatronics or you couldn't do anything significant like Mine Train because you're going too damn quick.
Exactly.
They'd have to do it on the front end.
That's
like
what I was talking about.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe they could have covered the hill and you know, as you're climbing up, had things on either side. That could be a possibility.
Exactly. Like show a town that was destroyed by the Yeti, if you understand. Like these explorers are... Show what happened to them. Show some camps, some tents. Build up the anticipation for the drop. It doesn't have to be like make. Give me a Disney tells a story. I know they say the queue is the story, and thank God for the queue because you wouldn't know anything on that ride. You'd just be going up a snow-covered mountain, and if the Yeti's not working, you're like, oh, look at that thing.
Well, you know, it's not even just the queue that sets that story. It's almost the entire land. I mean, before you even get to the queue or the mountain, you see that little shop on your left-hand side. And I think actually there's restrooms in there. But anyhow, it's disguised as the
outpost and all.
Yeah, the headquarters where you get your backpacks and your tents and all that stuff. I mean, so you're getting set up with the story long before you even get in the line. So.
But don't you think it would be cool, John, if it had like kind of a start where it was like Splash Mountain where the story is told too?
I think the best idea you had was maybe like a destroyed campsite, or if there was a campsite and some of the ripped tents, because I'm thinking of one of the pictures that's in the queue where they're showing the tent that's all ripped up and stuff like that.
Exactly. Show what happened to some of the explorers. Like build the atmosphere.
Yeah, that'd be real cool. And then if as you passed, there was just like, you didn't see a Yeti, but you just saw something running behind the bushes or something like that.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. Show where he was at the camps. Because if you listen to one of our early shows, probably back, and I don't even think we can anymore unless I re-release them, if I get them from Scott. But that's where I was talking. That was before it even came out. And I was talking about, that's what I was hoping for. I can't wait for the stories going to be told. And I get there, it's a jackrabbit covered in ice. Yeah, I was so disappointed in it. It really was. I mean, I was hoping for so much more because, I mean, I got the Animal Kingdom books and it was showing the building of this, and I was watching the, you know, any stories that came out. I was like totally geeked out about it. Then I got on, I was like, man, if I did Fast Pass, I'd have no clue what happened here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, you know, they waste space, I guess, in the ascent up the mountain. But really, if you think about it, when the Yeti comes out and they show the silhouette on the side of the mountain, he's holding the track in his hand and he ripped it out. So it's explaining to you how the track got broken at the top. So that really begins the storytelling. I guess if you didn't go in the queue or you didn't look at anything else, you would say, oh, this Yeti or monster or whatever has messed with the tracks, and boom, there you go, you're on your way. And you're right, other than the Disco Yeti now, where they just flash the you know, the lights back and forth to give you the illusion that he's moving, but let's face it, I mean, when he was working, when you're going by that thing, you're zipping along at, you know, so many miles per hour, you barely see it anyway, so, you know, what else is there to see? I mean, you're really just descending down the mountain at high speeds the rest of the way. Once that track flips and you see the silhouette of the Yeti, you know, a minute later, you're at the bottom getting out.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, Doug, you realize that you're another jaded Disney visitor, too, that's done this a million times. I mean, I did the single rider last time, and I sat by a 12-year-old kid who when that Disco Yeti came out, scared the bejesus out of him. So, you know.
I hear you, but I would have liked it, and I know I keep barreling on, because I mean, and don't get me wrong, if you go to 1,000 other parks, there's nothing even like this. I was disappointed because I had higher expectations. But at the end of the day, which I hate that expression, but I'll use it here, it is a beautiful mountain. It is a beautiful ride. I get why people like it. I know I'm the oddball on this. I'm not saying I'm right. I would have just loved more of a story being told. I would have liked to have seen like something like dinosaurs with a couple of the Yetis scaring the crap out of you before they throw you down the hill. You know, I would have liked more of a suspense is what I'm saying.
That's fair enough. As like you said, there's no right or wrong answer to the question. It's all personal preference, and you happen to be wrong.
Yes, it's just me. Hey, I know I'm in the minority. I'm not saying I'm just, you know, it's a beautiful mountain.
It is.
Cali River Rapids.
I hope it's touchable because I don't enjoy the attraction. In all seriousness, no. I do. It's to me, it's just a water ride. I think, you know, they try to make it educational and tell about, you know, the stripping of the land and all that. So it, you know, does a fair job at that. But to me, you know, for reasons we've stated a million times, with being wet in a theme park during the day, blah, 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 it can be cold in the winter. I think that they could do something better with the space. So I'm going to say it's touchable and hope that it is and they put something else there. But that's me.
Johnny?
It's touchable. I could definitely see something else going there. There's in the state of Florida, there's at least three of these attractions, and they're basically all the same thing. Disney's got a little better theming, of course, on theirs than Congo River Rapids at Busch Gardens or Pluto's Barges at Universal, but both of those are 2 to 3 times as long as this one is.
That's what I was going to say, John, not to cut you off. I don't want to get yelled at. I'm just kidding. Everybody knows we're kidding. But, John, I agree. That's the thing I was going to say, that I think it's way too short for what it is. I think it should be longer.
Yeah, me and my son had fast passes in the summertime specifically to ride on this to, you know, to get cooled down and stuff. And it seems like as soon as you got on, you were getting back off of it. And like I said, both of the other ones that I mentioned, they're 2 to 3 times as long. And I can't imagine why they have all that space. I can't imagine why they made it so short.
Exactly. You're right. With the size of Animal Kingdom, I don't think they were really hurting for space.
Exactly. Unfortunately, it is the same ride. I mean, those yellow, round, 8-person rafts, there's nothing unique about it. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and I always get the guy that had extra Yak and Yeti before he got on, and it always hit. I get the pleasantly plump gentleman that makes me get soaked. I always get stuck between him and his buddy, and I'm right in the middle, and I get drowned when I go on that ride.
And that's what I was going to say, Doug. As many times I've done probably the other attractions in Animal Kingdoms 15 times more than I've done Cali River Rapids. But it seems that attraction, we always talk about it in my family because I've gotten soaked on that a couple of times where I was the only one in the raft that it lined up just right with that I got soaked and everyone else got away fairly unscathed. And, you know, so as few times as I've been on, it holds memories for our family because they always joke that I, you know, got so wet. So go ahead.
It's just the way it is. I'm the guy that wants to get wet, and I come off of there with water splattered on my sunglasses, and that's about it. You know, I waited an hour. I want to get soaking wet, and I'm barely got a dousing. So.
Yeah, because the last time I was on it was with my godson and my brother-in-law, and we got blasted. And we were just soaking head to toe. Luckily, I gave my wallet and all to my wife. I was, you know, phone free, wallet free, the whole nine yards. But and I won't deny we laughed our butts off the entire ride. We had a great time, but it wasn't worth the squeak, 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 squeak for the next, you know, half hour, 45 minutes. You know, walking into the air conditioner, freezing my back off. If you follow me, because it was, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, it just, I wish they'd do something else with it, so it's not untouchable for me. Get rid of it. Dam it off. Shut the water off. We'll build a dam. Next up, we're going to Dino Land.
Oh, boy.
Finding Nemo the Musical, I'll start off with. That's considered in Dino Land. What do you guys think about that?
I really enjoy this show. But it's definitely touchable. I think it'll remain a theater, but at some point something else will go in there, so it's touchable.
Johnny?
Yeah, it's a beautiful show, and as I'm sure Dennis can agree with me, as a father, it hits a couple of notes for you. But
yep, yep.
What are you trying to say? I can't cry because I'm not a dad?
Well, you can relate.
When Nemo was found, I'm telling you, with that little fin flapping to see his daddy, I was crying. So don't discriminate here, John.
Right,
I'm turning
right,
my feelings now. I got two godsons, you know, that I love very much. Now go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, then Doug can relate too. So, but with as many quality animal heartfelt movies that Disney makes, I wouldn't be surprised to see something replace this within a couple of years. It's definitely touchable.
And I'll be happy to tell you, most of my godson's Disney movies were seen by this guy. This guy took them to him. I could still remember going to Finding Nemo to see this show with my godson, Jimmy. We had a great time, except for the kid, the father behind me, I had to straighten out because his kids kept kicking my seat for the entire first 15, 20 minutes of the movie. Dude, it was bad. And it was so full of that theater, we couldn't move. Wow. The father didn't care what that kid did as long as he didn't have to associate with him.
Yeah, I know that type.
You know, he's the same guy that John ran into at the Lion King last week or whenever he was down there at that last show.
I mean, and we've said it 1,000 times, too. I mean, I just hope when they do bring another show in, and maybe with the new Finding Dory coming out, maybe that's an opportunity for them to change the show up, but please do something
with
the seating
seats
in there. That is just painful.
Dennis, you took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, if they don't touch it, please change the seats.
Yeah. I mean, talk about bench seating. And you know, I've always, why they do that, I don't know. I mean, I understand if they don't have fabric on the the seats, you know, cleaning is easier and all that. So I guess I get it from that perspective. But look at what they got at PhilharMagic or some of the other shows, the American Adventure. I mean, they can put in decent seating. It doesn't make it painful because, you know, by the time you get out of that queue line, you know, that's got to be a solid 45 minutes by the time the show starts and you get out. And I mean, my back is just killing me most times when I'm on that, you know, watching that show.
The only seats that were worse than that, those seats, do you guys know what they are?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the car show at
Lights,
Hollywood
Motor
Studios.
Action, very good. They were the only ones
that were
worse.
That's a competition right there.
And the thing that made them worse was how bright of stainless steel they were to fry you. You got fried from them, too.
Yeah,
but
double jump.
Yep. But yeah, this is very touchable to me. I mean, I like it and all, but I could see another show going in eventually. But yeah, please, Disney, do something with the seats. Anything. Mold them a little bit so they have a butt in them that you put in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How certain seats have the the roundness in them? I mean, these seats are – I think they all sat down and planned, what is the worst possible seats we could put in this place? And I think they succeeded.
I don't understand it. You're right. With all the magnificent things they build and do and they can't not have known how uncomfortable they were going to be. So it makes you wonder what their mindset was.
The end game was.
Yeah.
Get you out of there. They don't want nobody meandering, probably.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They've succeeded. That's what sure.
You can't wait to get off.
I know.
The last time I was in there, they thought I was giving them a standing ovation. I said, no, my back hurts. I can't take it no more.
Get me out of here.
Can't take it no more.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be my excuse for not having seen the show again is because I don't really want to put up with the back pain for the rest of the day. So.
No, not at all. And I know we'll upset our friend Jen with this, but what about the whole Boneyard experience? Have you guys ever dug for bones or fossils?
Me, my kids were a little older for that, so when we started going to Disney, and Animal Kingdom wasn't even open the first year, but no, we've never done it. I've seen kids enjoying it, and I've seen it reset, which is pretty cool when they kind of, you know,
Rebury them.
That is cool when you see that happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and I suppose if someday when I have grandkids, I probably will experience it, but I've never done it. To answer your question, to me, it's touchable, but for what it is, it's a good diversion for the kids.
John, what say you?
This was one of my son's favorite spots back when he was 4, 5, 6. So, and
7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah,
12,
well,
I'm sorry.
At some point we had to cut him off. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a fun thing for kids to do, and seeing as that's one of the few playground areas that they have in Animal Kingdom, I think. So, for now, I would unless they come up with another idea, maybe they'll just get rid of all that other whole area we're talking about. But for now, I think it is untouchable, actually. So.
Okay. Now, I kind of see it like our friend from The Happiest Vlog on Earth. This is one of her favorite things to do, which was shocking the first time I watched it. She was on a beeline to go dig. I was like shocked. I told Scott what he should have did is buried her ring there. Let her go find her ring. He goes, I never thought of that.
Yeah, and some 5-year-old little girl pops up and goes, Daddy, look!
Yeah, well, he'd have been a little smarter than that. He'd had it hooked up with the cast member and got her own little private dig that she didn't know was going on.
Right, right.
But no, I think it's cool for the kids. It's something different and all. But to me, and I'll talk about it at the end of this, I could see this land maybe being one of the areas that they could touch a little bit. So, but I know a lot of people like it. To me, it could go either way. So I'll say it's touchable just because it don't matter to me. So.
No, that's fine.
Dinosaur guy.
Dinosaur for me is untouchable. I think that is a great attraction. I think it's just the right mix of, a little bit of fear, a little spookiness, scariness. It's exhilarating. It's scary. You know, the ride vehicle does bounce you around quite a bit. So, you know, with the exception of that, it's something I go on each and every time I'm in Animal Kingdom. I really enjoy, and I hope that it's untouchable.
What say you, Johnny?
Really enjoy the ride, and unless they are going to somehow fit Indiana Jones into Animal Kingdom and change that into the Indiana Jones ride, then I think it's untouchable. So, yeah, I would say the same thing. It is... I think, actually, still one of the scariest rides out at Walt Disney World. You'll still see adults, if it's their first, second time riding it, cringe away from that dinosaur when he's coming at you. So.
Oh, absolutely. I do it, and I'm stuck there every time. I'm the idiot stuck on the right side of that car every time. And I really, to me, this is untouchable because it's always in the top three or four of my favorite rides. I mean, you, the way you asked me, it could be one sometimes. That's how much I love this ride, even though I'm starting to get old and the Buck and Bronco is starting to hurt. But this is one of those rides where, which I was going to mention about this whole land area here. I could see this ride. I think this ride actually fits more in Epcot than it does in the Animal Kingdom. I have never understood Dino Land in the Animal Kingdom anyway. You understand what I'm saying? I could see dinosaurs more in Epcot in the Evolution of the World, if you follow me, then with Epcot, with Tomorrow, Discovery, like Ellen over there, Universe of Energy, all that stuff. I could see more of this there than the laboratory for, you understand what I'm saying, the future,
yeah,
the whole nine yards at Epcot. Now, I did think about what you were saying, John. I would like, if they did away with Indiana Jones in the studios and want to do something with Indiana Jones, I could see them turning this whole area into Indiana Jones land.
There would be nothing in the world that would make me happier. So.
And I would love to see that because, you know, we'll go on and on, which I both think that we, and I can answer for us and you guys can go real quick. The Chester and Hester's Dinorama and the Primeval World, what say you guys on them two?
Yeah, I mean, they could go tomorrow as far
exactly
as I'm concerned. I mean, you're right, Doug. I mean, and I think 9 out of 10 people that visit the Animal Kingdom would agree. It really, and I make this point all the time, and, you know, only the real geeks of, you know, that really study Walt Disney World and Animal Kingdom that know the backstory that Disney made for that, you know, say, oh, it actually fits for what it does. But I bring it back to my point that I made out at Conservation Station. Really, it's just a way to get cheaper amusement park type attractions into a Disney park and make it seem like it's really, well, that's part of the theming. It's supposed to be there. So Disney, quote unquote, gets away with it. But let's face it. I mean, they're really just glorified, you know, amusement park rides that you could see anywhere else. Not dinosaur.
They're
but
not
the
even
other
amusement
two
park rides. And I don't want to
right
cut you off, Dennis.
No,
but
no.
They're not even amusement park rides. They're stupid carnival rides. Like,
yeah.
I won't even go to a local carnival because I'm so afraid. I know a lot of, God bless you guys, but I know a lot of these carnies, and I've been around. My one buddy used to work for them, and
yep,
I seen the spit and the shoestrings and the paper clips and the stuff they hold some of these rides together with that scares, and that's what this reminds me of, an old carny ride, don't it, you guys?
Yeah.
Don't answer
yeah,
no, it once, Buffy.
No, no.
Absolutely.
I'm sure these rides are in just as good a shape as any other attraction on Disney property. But your point being that these type rides tend to harken back to, you know, the traveling, you know, carnivals that would come to your local town. And you're right, Doug. You know, they hire local help to, you know, grease the bearings and, you know, do whatever they do to keep the cotter pins in these things.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah, it just doesn't give you a lot of a sense of safeness, I guess, even though they're very safe. But the bigger point here is that we expect more from Disney, and we pay $100 a day to, you know,
I love that you're saying that. Yeah, Dennis,
no,
go!
But to experience world-class attractions, and I think we would all agree, and many others would agree, that they fall short in this area, in this side of the park. So I think you're right with Dinosaur, keeping it as an anchor, you know, whether it changes to Indiana Jones or remains Dinosaur the way it does, they could redo that whole land and, you know, make it more dinosaur-centric, if you will, because as you guys know, and I believe it still exists there today, the original logo for the Animal Kingdom had a dinosaur or a dragon, I believe it was, in the actual logo.
Yeah,
so they could certainly, you know, have a whole dinosaur section and, you know, get rid of the kind of quirky Primeval World, you know, ride and do
Chester
something
and
more
Hester's
elaborate.
And
yeah.
Spinorama. I mean, all that
yeah
junk. It's like, I don't know. And like you said, Dan, I 100% agree. It's like, it's carny. It's beneath them. It's not what they do. It's like, that's not what you expect. There's not even a queue for them. It's the same thing as a carnival. It's a little raw. I mean, a little like cow path. Cow, what is it? What do they call it? A cattle path.
Yeah.
It's just
switchbacks.
Cattle stall, you know.
Yeah,
so. I just don't agree with it. I mean, if they don't want to do dinosaurs, like I said, I wouldn't mind seeing like you talked about, John, and turning into, Indiana Jones. But I do love the whole, like, that's why I was saying go to Epcot, because it reminds me of the test track queue a little bit. I like the whole scientific feel of it, where they're doing exploration, and that's how you end up back there. I would like to see that go over to Future World of Epcot and then do an Indiana Jones land and maybe come up with a different ride or something else. Do another animal atmosphere with a lot of the other stuff that's coming out. You know, maybe Ant-Man attraction over there or so, anything. But anything's better than what they have in that area.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the only thing I do there is dinosaur.
Exactly.
And then I cut over to go to either the... the Nemo show, or on the way, over to the other side to Asia. I've never ridden Primeval World. I've never been on it. Have you guys been on it?
No, my godson has, and he went on with his dad, and I almost disowned both of them.
Yeah, I've never gone on it.
I refuse to go on, man. Yeah, that's what I do. We walk in the park, we make a beeline for dinosaur, and then we do that track past Nemo, and head across the bridge. Look at Everest and say how beautiful it is. Walk through Asia. Walk the Maharaja Jungle Track. And by then, hopefully, I'm hungry enough to eat at the Akin Yeti.
Good plan.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's how we roll. And the point of it is I just, like you said, Dan, I think they could do so much more with that area than just the Dino Lab over there, the dinosaurs, anything but that.
Yep, totally agree.
John, you want to get rid of them too?
Well, the first time we walked into the park and we walked through that, I just remember thinking, this is nothing like what I seen Disney do before.
And I think would have kicked and screamed.
Yeah, and then I listened to, years later, I listened to a couple of the podcasts. Some of the guys have done the theming of Dino Land and stuff like that, and how they tried to dig deep and come up with it. And I've heard the reasons and this and it still looks like crap to me. I mean, it still looks like you said, Walt would be turning over in his grave if he could. It was how atrocious that is that's in one of his parks. I think he'd be embarrassed to tell you the truth. So.
Exactly. It's like that whole park is themed so awesome. And and that's the point that gets me too. Like, oh, you got all this dramatic. It's so dramatic and so well themed where you're running through different habitats. And all of a sudden, you end up at a carnival.
Yep.
At a carny. It's like it makes no sense to me. That's what really blew me away. It's like if you were in grammar school and they gave you the little thing and they gave you the five things and you had a circle, what don't belong here? That's what that would be.
That's a good way to put it.
I mean, it's just a misfit doll there. That's what cracked me up. I mean, because I didn't expect it to even, like you just said, John, we roamed through because the very first time we went straight to the Tree of Life. Then we went over to Kilimanjaro Safari. Then we roamed over to Asia. Then we went. Then I'm like, what is this? Did we go out a gate that I didn't know about and end up in a different park? I mean, like, this don't belong. This is just stupid.
You know, if they want to do stuff like that would be your carny type stuff, like you're saying, it would fit in a whole lot better at the boardwalk. Put a Ferris wheel and put a silly sit and spin ride out front of boardwalk. That fits the theme.
That's what I was going to say. It reminds you of a weekend down the Jersey Shore.
That fits the theming at the boardwalk, but it doesn't fit the theming of Animal Kingdom,
no.
In my opinion. So.
No, I agree with your opinion for once, John. I agree with you. I'm sorry to go off. I know I'm on my soapbox with this, but it just that area bothers the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, it's wasted space in my view. And, if it wasn't for dinosaur, those restaurants would be hurting because there'd be nobody going over that side of the park.
No, I've never had anybody come home and go, oh, my goodness, Primeval World and Triceratops Spin and Chester and Hester's Dinorama. Oh, my goodness.
And you know what else? It's the only area other than the boardwalk where it fits in that you have the goofy carny games. So, on all of Disney World, I think they have it at Boardwalk, and then...
Yeah, and it's a cheap way to try to get money from
it. Doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's also a cheap way to try to get money from you, in my opinion. What do you, don't you think, John?
I couldn't agree more, so.
Then, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
that?
Yeah, you're paying, you know, full ticket price, and you're really getting a land that, you know, although I'd pay just to see dinosaur, it's worth it in my view, but you're right. I mean, in other parks, you would have certainly, you know, a B attraction or two in an area along with the E attraction that's there. So you're kind of getting ripped off in that regard. And, you know, like I said, I'll bet you, you line 10 people up, at least half of them, I'm going to say, totally do what we do and totally blow by those attractions. So you really, you know, you're getting robbed a little bit of what you should be getting for your $100 for the day.
Yeah, it would be like all of a sudden you get all the way around Epcot, you get around World Showcase, and then all of a sudden that, because we go the opposite way because we're idiots. We start at Canada. Do you do too, John?
Yep,
so all three of us are idiots. We start at Canada and end at Mexico. It'd be like us roaming all around World Showcase. All of a sudden, we get to the Mexican Pavilion, and we got to pay to get downstairs.
Or how about this? Instead of the next country, you're going along, and all of a sudden, they dump sand in a whole area and just say, yeah, this is a Sahara Desert.
Yeah.
And it's just sand. That's all it is. There's nothing else there.
Yeah, it's just
oh,
crazy.
There you go.
It just doesn't fit in that park to me. And I know people, like you said, John, will argue with us, but we're all in agreement on this. Let's get rid of that whole carny atmosphere there and put something good in.
Yeah, without I know you're a New Jersey guy, but without perturbing you too much, it reminds me of Six Flags. So.
Well, you don't perturb me.
Okay.
You couldn't pay me to go there, man. That's
but
why
yeah,
I'm driving 1,100 miles.
Like I said, those two rides and that whole game area looks very Six Flags flagish to me. So,
and for those that want to know the backstory, while John was making his point, I know that the one that I heard was on Lou's show, and it was Jim Corcus that he had on
and
there.
He's fabulous.
Yeah, and they're you know Chester and Hester, and if you actually go in the gift shop there, there's references to them and how they got there and why they're there, and a lot of the trinkets that are in the gift store. All you know, there is a backstory, but I agree with John. Even though there's a backstory, it still doesn't make it right in our view. But Jim was making the point that you know, for what it is themed perfectly. Again, for what it is, but the larger point being in the Animal Kingdom, we just feel that it's subpar attractions and a subpar land in a park that's beautiful and has so many great attributes to it. It falls way short in our view in this park.
Yeah, because they could put that carny style stuff too down at Disney Springs where it's free. If you want to let people pay to get on a couple of them rides, put them rides down there.
Or play the games. Yeah, exactly.
Play the games down there. But you're I didn't go to the Animal Kingdom to throw or play silly carnival games. And no adult really wants to do that. It's all a little money grab for kids, in my opinion. Is you know, make your daddy go do something for the kids, you know. And I get it, because then you want to win something for your son or daughter.
Well, don't tell anybody but my wife. My God, she loves those dang things. So.
Yeah, well, there you go. When you spend money
exactly.
that you don't want to, I bet you try to avoid that like you can. They need a little back.
Yeah, let's go this way.
They need one single solitary. I said to Brenda, they need one straight path right to Dinosaur from the gate. I guarantee nobody would walk nowhere else.
Nope. You're right. You're right.
Why do you make me? Because to be honest with you, Dinosaurs is one of the biggest pain in the butt rides to get to, isn't it? And they set it up that way. They try to lure you in all that other junk.
Yeah. It's right tucked in the back there where you literally have to walk through the whole. Pretty much the rest of the land. Yep,
exactly. You have to go through everything.
I mean, now I know the last time that little rest area, right before you get the dinosaur on the left, they usually do a character meet and greet there. And, you know, they try to get some interaction going there. But there's a bunch of little pathways there. Mm-hmm. You guys, I'm sure, know of them.
We've roamed them. I've hit it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get away from all the other junk.
You can cut over and end up at the gift shop and all that stuff. And again, we spend very, very little time there except to, you know, get the dinosaur. And then we're usually out of there as quickly as we possibly can.
Exactly. Way to go. Didn't say anything offensive, John. I heard your brain going. I'm like, what's he going to say here? Good job, buddy.
Yeah.
So that's going to be it. I enjoyed this Untouchable. I'll tell you what. So far out of all the parks, this had the most Untouchables, I think. This is pretty close to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, it surprised me in that regard. But then when you really think about it, when you tie the attractions to the theme of the theme park as to what it's trying to portray, it does it very, very well. And I think that's why there were more attractions that we deemed untouchable than we might have thought going in, because, you know, of what the Animal Kingdom portrays and the good job that they do portraying it.
Absolutely.
It's simply as that.
It's like they did a great job, and then all of a sudden, oh, we need one more land.
Yeah.
Call up somebody and see if they can make a couple stupid rides and bring them in here.
Tired. Maybe that's what has had something to do with it, that, you know, that when Animal Kingdom opened, they were, you know, struggling for attractions, I guess, and maybe it was one of those things where they said, well, it'll be a placeholder till we do something more elaborate, and we know how that works sometimes. A placeholder 20 years later, it's still holding its place.
Exactly. It needs
to
be moved. But this has been a lot of fun. Good job tonight, John. Good job tonight, Dan. I had a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
I enjoy these untouchable segments.
Yeah, what do we got? One more to go for the four parks, and then we'll see where we go from there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that. There's 10, what do you think over there, 10, 20, 30 untouchables at that one?
Oh, at least, at least. Yeah.
I know the Sorcerer's hat's going, wait.
It's
dang.
Going too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I had more fun looking at that than going on something. I mean, at least it was something else to look at there.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
No, but this has been a lot of fun, guys. I'm looking forward to doing the next one. And please, guys, go over to Twitter and follow John at Beer Solo. Follow me at Grumpy6767 and follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find us all at WDW Main Street. Check out John's picture today. And did you see, real quick, did you see Carmen with the old man all over the park? She did a great job, then, didn't she?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Looked like you guys had fun yesterday. You were roaming all around. So.
Look at the ball. You must see this. You must see this attraction out in American Adventure. I love that.
Yeah. Thanks, Carmen.
Yeah, she did a great job. But all right, guys, we will talk. We had a great time, and we will talk to you real soon. Please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Do you guys got anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good.
I think that's about it.
All right, we'll talk to you guys real soon.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
We're pollinators. We're pollinators.
Yes, we like vegetables.
Fresh fruit and flowers.
Give thanks to us bugs for our marvelous powers.
If it weren't for the fact that we like the taste, you'd be out there wallowing in shoulder-high waste.
Shoulder-high waste.
And if all bugs were white,
well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.